Christ is risen. Christos Voskresia. Christos Anesti. Albert Einstein has famously defined insanity as follows. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Probably familiar with those words. Today we see that the woman of the well had demonstrated this sort of insanity in her life. She had had 5 husbands and was now with a man who was not her husband. She was thirsty for something, for some kind of satisfaction, some sort of fulfillment, and obviously was not finding it in men. And yet she kept trying again and again and again. Maybe this man will satisfy me. Maybe this man will take care of me. Maybe this man will fulfill my deepest desires and needs and fulfill me and take care of me. And yet she flitted from husband to husband and from husband to man who wasn't her husband and was still lacking. By Albert Einstein, this definition, we could call this insanity. And indeed, we too ourselves manifest this type of insanity in our own sin, in our self-destructive actions, in the harm we do to others. We do these things, we are aware of it, we regret it, we're sorry, we repent, we confess it. And yet, we find ourselves doing those things again and again. And it's probably true that if we can regret these things, we can acknowledge them, but if we change nothing and if our lives, if we keep taking the same approach over and over and over again, changing nothing, how can we expect to have a different outcome? How can we expect ourselves to cease from sin, from harming ourselves and from harming others? For example, we don't pray well or consistently. We struggle to pray, and we get so busy and caught up in our own affairs that we don't pray, we forget God. And then because we're not consistently asking God for His help every day, we keep losing our temper with our family members, or we keep giving into other sins and temptations that beset us. And we're sorry for this, we keep bringing it back to God in confession, and we regret it, but then we go and do it all over again, and we keep trying to live the Christian life without prayer, in this case. Without humbling humbly before God each day to receive His grace to help us in our need of that day, to receive that daily bread from Him that we need to abide in Him. And so this is a form of insanity, thinking that we can get a different result by doing the same thing over and over again. We could multiply examples. Sin is indeed insanity, if we understand it. It's a mental disorder, not in the world's terms, as the world understands mental disorder, but it's a disordered state of a rational being made in God's image, which is what man is. Sin is irrational, it's illogical, it makes no sense if we understand the reality of God, the reality of the world, our own reality. If we understand what we're made for, what our purpose and goal and end is, what our destiny is, sin makes no sense at all. It's insanity, it's disorder, it's irrational, it's illogical. But we hunger and thirst for very deeply for fulfillment, for satisfaction. And this woman, this Samaritan woman, had a hunger, had a thirst, and she just kept trying to satisfy it in the same way, and it never worked. No man could provide what she needed most of all. And of course, this is exactly what we do. seek satisfaction in food, in eating, and in clothes, and in money, and career accomplishments, in pleasure, in having our way and imposing our will on others, many other things. We seek satisfaction, we seek fulfillment, and it never delivers. We know that from experience that we give in to temptation. It seems so desirable, so good, so attractive, and we give in to it, and for a moment it's great pleasure, and then a moment later it's sour, it's painful, it's shameful, it doesn't deliver on what it promised. It's like one priest likened this to a chocolate-covered dung ball. It looks great on the outside, the first bite it tastes really good, but your teeth get inside it and it's thoroughly disgusting. And this is our experience of sin generally, if we're honest, if we look at it. It never delivers what it promises, and it never properly satisfies us or nourishes us. And so Jesus encounters this woman at the well, this thirsting, hurting, hungry woman. He deals with her compassionately. He speaks gently to her, but firmly. Asking her for a drink of water. And when she's surprised that he, a Jew, has spoken to her, a Samaritan woman, surprised that he's spoken to her, he tells her that if you knew who I am, you would have asked me for water. And I would have given you water springing up to everlasting life. And I'll give you water that you'll quench your thirst so that you'll never thirst again. The same promise Jesus gives to us, that all that is thirsty in us, all that's hungry for love, for satisfaction, for fulfillment, we should know by experience now that this world will not deliver it, or this world will not fulfill it. And man, we can end up like the woman with the five husbands plus, you know, whatever our chosen avenue of seeking satisfaction, fulfillment is. You can have a shelf full of trophies, bank accounts full of money. We can have a belt full of notches from our romantic conquests. And yet we're still hungry and we're thirsty and we're impoverished in soul. Jesus promises living water that will satisfy that thirst, that will refresh us so that we thirst no more for those things that don't satisfy. Jesus said to the woman, if you knew who I am, you'd have asked of me. So often we don't have because we don't ask. As James says in his epistle, you have not because ye ask not. And of course this is one reason why we as Christians pray each day. Not because God needs it, not because it impresses him, not because, you know, it's some legalistic requirement God wants us to fulfill, and if we fulfill it, he says, okay, you're good, I can be good to you. No, we're called to pray because this is our fellowship with the God who made us. This is a relationship. This is encounter with him. And we come to him as thirsty, needy people who will only find our satisfaction, fulfillment in him. So we come to him in prayer and humility, opening our hearts saying, God, fill me. God, help me. God, grant me thy grace that I may accomplish thy work and that I may stand against the wiles of the enemy, and may do thy will and please thee, and not fall short of thy glory in this day. And as we ask, he gives. He gives himself. He gives us this living water, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which fills us and empowers us and makes us aware of His presence and enables us to live the Christian life, to abide in Him. And this water of life that Jesus gives, the Holy Spirit, as He says in the mid-feast passage from John 7, three chapters on, which we're in the middle of celebrating, He says that, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And John's comment is, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit was not yet given." And so we, as we become full of the Spirit, as we partake of this water of life daily, we have in us a spring, a fountain flowing up unto eternal life, which can refresh those around us, which will help satisfy their thirst, so that they aren't caught in the trap that the woman was in and that much of the world is in, of seeking satisfaction, fulfillment in those things that can never deliver it. As St. Augustine famously said in a prayer directed to God at the beginning of his confessions, he said, "Thou hast made us for thyself," or "Thou hast made me for thyself," and though he says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And no pleasure, no accomplishment, no satisfaction this world delivers can satisfy us. Only in Him will we find our rest and our quenching of our thirst. And this is because God's made us for Himself. He's made us for Himself. We're made to have fellowship with Him. We're made to be containers of His life. We're made to be temples of His Holy Spirit. We're made to be partakers of His divine nature as He imparts His living, His divine energies to us. This is a high calling, and it's a huge compliment paid to the human race, to each one of us. This is why we sense you, and every time we sense the people, because you too are icons, images of Christ. We're all striving to be conformed to that image of Christ. All of you who are baptized are temples of the Holy Spirit. We honor that. But God's made us for Himself. And try as we will not find anything that can replace Him in us. And this is what He's telling the woman. "Ask of me and I will give you that which will satisfy your thirst." And it won't only satisfy you, it'll spring up in you as a fountain of living water which will quench the thirst of others. So as we remember this Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman, Svetlana in Russian, as we remember her today and her encounter with Christ, as we celebrate the mid-feast of Pentecost, whose theme is this living water, may each of us, recognizing that we're made for God and that only in Him will our hearts find rest, each of us desire Him and go to Him daily and ask Him for that water which satisfies our thirst. May we receive grace to break out of the cycle of insanity that so often we live in, doing the same thing over and over again, but somehow, against all reason, expecting different results. Christ our God, who satisfies our thirst, be all glory, honor, and worship together to the Father and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever.